To those of you in the parking lot, I apologize. After teaching class, I was taking care of the announcements, and I walked off with the microphone in my pocket. And so what that meant was the people in the parking lot could not hear as well, because this microphone is the one that feeds to the parking lot. And so I apologize for that, and hopefully in the future I won't make that mistake again. We welcome everybody here who is here this morning. To me, this is a joyful morning for the fact that we are back in the auditorium and the fact that the auditorium has been renovated. I am very thankful for that, because before our electric bill was outrageous. Hopefully this will cut our electric bill in half. But the primary thing about it to me is this auditorium has been built for acoustics. That is so that our singing to God hopefully will be better in our praise to Him. We are not completely finished yet. You probably noticed the stone over here. We're still waiting for the mason to put the stone up, and hopefully that will be done in a few weeks. But it's so good just to be back in the auditorium, worshiping together with you in the auditorium. But as I told you in the announcements, we are in the middle of another major COVID spike. And so as a consequence, we have a lot of people in the parking lot this morning. We may have more in the parking lot than we do here in the auditorium. But either way, we're glad all of you are with us this morning. And my sermon this morning is going to be entitled, Starting Over New. You'll find over in the book of Galatians in chapter 6, verse 15 is where I'm reading from the outline. But in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. If I were going to try to summarize Christianity, it would be this: starting over new. The ability to begin fresh, clean, and pure all over. The text here talks about what is important is a new creation. It is over in the text of 2 Corinthians, where you learn how to become this new creation in Christ. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So here this new creation. This new creation is someone who is in Christ. And it tells you about this new creation who is in Christ. The beauty of being in Christ and being a new creation is all the old things have passed away. And it says, behold, all things have become new. In our lives, our body has scars. I've told folks there are scars all over my body, and if you look very closely, you'll see a small S in every one of them, which stands for stupid. And those are things I did in my foolishness, and as a consequence, I have scars on my body. And then I have things that have happened to me in my life, a lot of them because of things that I have done, to where I have scars in my emotions. But the worst wounds of all are the scars and the wounds and the spots on our soul. And that is the worst of all. And as we grow older in our life, unfortunately, we give in to temptation. And we go into the world and we go into sin. And we have these humongous scars and wounds that are covering our soul. And it is in need of being healed. The beauty of creation is through the power of the blood of Christ, we are able to start over in our relationship with God absolutely new. Even though we have messed up royally countless times because of the power of the blood of the Christ, that we are able to have the sins that we have committed, that we are guilty of, washed away and forgiven by the power of the blood of the Christ. Going over to the Gospel of John, in chapter 3 and in verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then dropping down to verse 5, he says, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, these two verses, verse 3 and verse 5, are talking about the same thing. Being born of the Spirit and being born of the water is called being born again. I love that phrase that God has used to describe obeying the gospel. Again, it is the idea of starting over. Because you see, when you're born, that's when you start. That's when you're in this world. That's when you begin. And so being born again in your spiritual birth, when your sins are washed away and when your sins are forgiven by the power of the blood of Christ, you are starting over fresh and clean as a newborn babe in Christ, born again. The whole concept of Christianity is the possibility for us to begin afresh and anew in our relationship with God, to where our soul has no more scars, has no more blots, has no more sin on it at all. When you go over to the book of Galatians, chapter 3, 26 and 27, he says, "For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now, I want to put this verse in here because I'm wanting you to see the sons of God is the same concept of being born again. But then he talks about being baptized into Christ. Because as we learned earlier from 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So how do you get into Christ? First of all, it starts with faith. You have to hear the word. Or read the word on your own, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read about the virgin birth. Read about the miracles. Read about the resurrection and his crucifixion. And when you read these things, you're going to start realizing this man, Jesus, is no ordinary man. He really is the Christ. He really is the Son of God. And he really did die on that cross for my sins so they could be forgiven, so I could be born again, so I could start over fresh and new and clean and sinless in my relationship with God by the power of his blood. And then you confess that faith, and we're going to be seeing the next step here, repenting, putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And then when you're baptized and you're in Christ, you come in contact with that blood, you're born again, starting over new, starting over forgiven. A major part of obeying the gospel is repentance. When you go to Romans in chapter 6 now, verses 3 and 4, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism to death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Now, notice here in verse 3, you come back to the same thing we learned over in the Galatian letter, chapter 3. Here in verse 3, he says, baptized into Christ. Here again, we're learning how you get into Christ to be a new creation, to start over absolutely new, to where all the old things, they're passed away, they're gone. They're dead. And now you're new. When you think of Romans 6, a lot of times we may think of Romans 6 and think about baptism because of verses 3 and 4. Romans 6 is actually primarily about repentance. Look at the very last part of this. A major part of being a child of God is putting to death the old man. A death takes place and he's got to be buried. Buried in baptism, and then when you come out of the watery grave of baptism, look at this, "even so we also should walk in" what? "Newness of life." You have changed inside. The renewing of the mind, the changing of the mind, the changing of the heart by faith, by trust, by godly fear, by hope, by love for God. Changing within at the very center. And then when you change in your heart, it results in the changing of the life. This is repentance. Coming to the point of faith is really not that difficult. Actually being baptized is not difficult unless you're afraid of water. I've had that happen once. Repentance, though, it's a battle. It's a battle at the very beginning. It's a battle all the way through. It's a battle to the end. It's a battle of doing the will of God by faith. But this is something we can do because we do have faith, and faith is the gasoline that drives the engine of repentance. Because you do have faith in your heart, you are able to change. Sometimes we look at our lives and how we're so caught up in the sins, and we may think, I can't stop doing it. The truth of the matter is, you can. You can stop doing it. You can put off the old man. Is it going to be easy? No. It's going to be difficult. But it can be done because you are changing inside. You are changing in your mind, changing in your heart, that is going to be leading to the changing of your life. Look at this in the scriptures here. I want to go back to an Old Testament verse for this to begin with. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed. Do you realize one of the best books on repentance is Ezekiel? It really is. And so here in describing repentance, you're casting away from you all the transgressions which you have committed. And so whatever sin it is that you're committing and you realize you're committing it, you cast it away. It is the idea, get off, get away from me. I'm not doing this anymore. And then he says, and get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. A new heart, a new spirit. It is the new heart and the new spirit that leads to the new you. You have to understand the change that's going to take place in your life starts by changing what's inside, changing the heart, changing the mind, having a new mind and a new spirit. And here's the key to the newness, faith. I'm going to say it again, I just said it earlier. Faith is the gasoline that drives repentance. And so you have to have faith. Who Jesus is, understanding the crucifixion is real and it was for me. The resurrection is real and it's for me. So I can start over new, so I can be forgiven. And when you realize this was done for me, an amazing thing happens over time. You find yourself loving somebody whom you've never seen. I admit that at the very beginning of my relationship with God, I was driven by godly fear. I didn't want to go to hell. You didn't realize believing in hell is part of faith. You believe in hell? If you say yes, you got some faith then, because you believe it. You believe the truth. Do you believe in heaven? I want to go there. Yeah, I have faith. You believe in heaven? If you go, yes, you got faith. But now then, the next step, do you believe Jesus really is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God? If you're sitting there and you're going, no, don't know about that now. All right, all right, all right. At least you know where to start. You need to go back to the book then, on your own. Go home now, this evening. Get the book, get the Bible and open it. And start reading it. Just read Matthew. Just read Luke. Just read John. Just read Mark. Read it. Give your soul a chance by reading it on your own. Because that's the way faith comes. That's the way everybody who has faith here got it. And if you're going to get it, that's how you're going to get there. And then when you get to that point of faith and you start realizing, wait a minute, he really is the Christ. He really is the Son of God. And it becomes your faith. And this is what you believe. That faith will change your life. And it will get to the point to where you start realizing what was done for you. And you're going to start loving somebody who you've never laid eyes on. That kind of faith will change your life. Change your life radically. Get you to the point to where you have a new heart, to where you have a new spirit, and as a consequence of this repentance, you will have a new life. Continuing the text here, he says, for why should you die, O house of Israel? For For I have no pleasure in the death of the one who dies, says the Lord. Therefore, turn and live. You can live. You can have eternal life. But you got to turn. You got to repent. You've got to change. And where the change starts is inside. And what changes it is faith. Continuing this definition of repentance from Ephesians chapter 4, he says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now look at this in verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Doesn't that sound exactly like what we just read back in Ezekiel? And get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You got to change your brain. You got to change your mind. You got to change the way you think. It's got to be a new spirit, a new mind. And he says that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. I want to put this text in here because I want you to see repentance is not just the putting off. Putting it off is tough, folks. Any sin you're caught up in, it's tough to put off. I want to go off on a brief tangent here. I want you to realize, I've taught you this 1,000 times, repentance is linear. It is a continual process of change and transformation. And it is not done in great leaps and bounds. It is done little by little, consistently growing and fighting the battle. And sometimes you may get discouraged because you may think, I'm not getting any better, I'm not changing. If you have been going little by little, you may not see it immediately. But if you stick with it and it is linear, you're going to change drastically over time to where you will not even know who you are in the future when you look back at the old man. And you look back behind you and you go, wow, was I really like that? Yes, but you've changed so much. He's dead now. He's the old man. But the other part of repentance is this, putting on the new man. The new man. The new life. The new you. Putting on the new man, putting on Christ. The whole other side of repentance is putting on Christ. And striving to be more and more like Jesus. And if anyone tells you, whenever you obey the gospel, you're there. You just got it right now. Really? I ain't known anybody like that. I don't know anybody like that now and never will. Because the truth of the matter, it is a continual process of spiritual growth. And you grow and you make this commitment. Yes, I am going to do this. Sometimes we think that repentance is this, I got it all and I got it now. I put off all the old man and he's going to stay off and I'm going to put on all the new man and I got it all now. I don't know anybody like that, folks, and that's not the way it really is. It's a battle to put it off. And then when you're trying to put on Christ, it's a long journey that you'll never finish. Because you're always trying to be more like Jesus. That's why I tell you, it's linear. It's little by little, driven by faith. And you keep fighting the battles to put off. And after a while, the things are being put off. Guess what? They're off. And the things you're putting on, you're growing in. There may be people that haven't seen you for years. And all of a sudden, they're around you and they realize, you've changed. You're not the same person I remember. You're new because you're changing inside and it's changing your life. Let's go further with this. Colossians chapter 3, 9 through 10. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him. Here again, a description of repentance. Putting off the old man, putting the old man to death, but then you put on the new man, and look at this phrase here again, renewed. There's that renewing again, the renewing of the mind, and it's renewed in knowledge. Our faith comes from the Word of God. And our knowledge of the will of God and what God is like comes from the Word of God. And so when you put your faith and your hope and your godly fear and your love together with the knowledge, and then driven by that faith, hope, and love and godly fear, you keep the knowledge, you're going to change drastically. And that's what repentance is. And when you're living a life of faith, you're going to always be changing to be more like Jesus and to fight the battles that sometimes come back and struggle with. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though the outward man is perishing, that the inward man is being renewed day by day. I want to close this part of the sermon with this verse. Our outward man is perishing. He's getting older and older and older. I'm sorry. And it's falling apart. Sorry. And it's going to keep falling apart. Till finally, it breaks. Totally. And you're dead. But even though our outward man is perishing, inwardly, as Christians, we are being renewed day by day. The beauty of Christianity, whenever we are living by faith and we mess up, and we will at times, we have the honor and the privilege of being allowed to go to the throne of God Almighty and take our sin to Him, confessing it to Him, praying for forgiveness of it, and starting over in that relationship yet new again. How many times have you started over new? I lost count. But that's the beauty of Christianity. The ability to be able to be new by being forgiven. And when you're walking and living by faith and God sees that and knows that about you, and you do mess up and you will at times, because you are living by faith, because your repentance is real and it is linear. When you mess up, you're going to fess up and you're going to try to deal with it and put it off. And God sees that and He will forgive us. It is a wonderful feeling to know in your heart, I've been forgiven. I am right with God. Now let's go further with this concept of starting over new. Going over the second part of the sermon outline, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 22. He says, for in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. As I told you earlier, there's going to come a time when you're going to break totally. And when your heart breaks or your mind breaks or your body breaks totally, you are going to die. And what happens when we die? Well, the body returns to the dust. The beauty of Christianity is not only do we have the privilege of starting over new by the power of the blood of the Christ, because you are born again, because you are in Christ, because you are living by faith, because when you do sin, you deal with it and you repent of it. Because of that relationship with God, and you are in Christ, and you die in Christ, God is going to allow you and I to rise from the dead. And folks, that's starting over new. When you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 42 to 43, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Now, folks, please realize you are Christians. Are you tired of your body falling apart? Some of you aren't there yet. It's coming. It's coming. And eventually you're just going to die because you can't stop it. But God has made it possible for us to rise from the dead. Got a question for us. Do we believe this? Do you sincerely believe the resurrection, your resurrection is in your future? Yes, absolutely. And look at what he says about what's coming for you and for me. You are going to receive a spiritual body, and he says it's going to be incorruptible, it's going to be glorious, it's going to be powerful. Exactly what that's going to be like, I don't know. I'll know more about it when we get there. But I know it's not going to be like this body. It's not going to decay, and it's not going to ever die. It's going to be the eternal body that I will live with for the rest of eternity. That's starting over, new folks, completely new with a spiritual body. And where's the spiritual body going to be? In the new heaven and the new earth. From Revelation 21, verses 1 through 2, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Speaking about the same thing over in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promises, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. You know, the present earth is beautiful. What's the new heaven and the earth, new earth going to be like? You know, this world right now, how many times do you find yourself looking at the creation or something in it and just going, wow. Okay, I have a gut feeling that the new heaven and the new earth is going to be wow. It's a really, really humongous, nonstop wow. But I want you to realize it's new because the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. This entire planet, this solar system, this universe, and everything you see is temporary. Revelation says in chapter 21, 4 through 5, and we'll close with this, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That sign kind of sounds like we read earlier back there in 2 Corinthians when it says old things have passed away. But now we're dealing with the universe. The former things have passed away. Then he said, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Now look at what I've underlined for you here. Behold, I make all things new. How does 2 Corinthians 5:17 end? Behold, I make all things have become new. The beauty of Christianity is this. It is the power to start over new. As a child in Christ, born again, starting fresh, forgiven, pure, and holy. And then as you change by putting off the old man and walking in newness of life, as you put on the new man and are being renewed day by day, continuing to strive to put off the old things and put on Christ. Every day you can start over fresh and clean, a new man and a new day. And then when you die, you're going to rise from the dead and receive the spiritual body, and we're going to go to the new heaven and the new earth. Those who will be in the new heaven and the new earth will be those who are new creations in Christ. who started over new by being born again by obeying the gospel, who live by faith in Christ all the way to the close of their life, and driven by their faith with a new heart and a new spirit and a new mind, they put off the old man and continue the life of repentance to be more like Jesus every day. That's what's going to be carried over to the new heaven and the new earth. The new person in Christ. It's an amazing principle, isn't it? It's a beautiful thing. Christianity is. The ability to start over new. Why do you want to stay in your sin? Why would you want to stay dead? Why would you want to go to hell? Why would you want to miss heaven? When you can start over new. You can do this. You can be a Christian. You can go to heaven. You can be with God and Jesus and all the saints forever. Yes, you and me. But you have to be in Christ. And the only way you get there is through your faith. And the confession of your faith. And repentance by your faith. And then being baptized by faith into Christ. And then living by faith all the way to the end of your life. You can do that. There are many here this morning who are doing just that. There are countless people around the world who are doing just that. And you can too. So do it. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know where we stand and sing the song that's been selected.